The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And Melissa and I have been on the phone for about 5 to 7 minutes, and we haven't said a word to one another because every time she opens her mouth, she's like, I can't say it, because she'll just go right into the case. So it's literally like we're sitting here in silence getting our stuff set up.
At one point, I was like, Amy, I need you to move a little faster. So here's the thing. I'm actually really glad that Brittany, who suggested this case, you are not a nice person to us, because I literally texted Amy 15 minutes ago and said, take some Tylenol before you start this episode.
And that can only mean one thing, that it's got you all wound up.
So back to why I'm glad I did this case and not you.
Also, we totally are kidding. We absolutely love challenges. So,
100%. So the reason I'm excited that I did this and not you is there's a lot of mental health and professionals involved in the story, and I'm really interested to hear your opinion as a family therapist.
I'm weary. I feel like I'm taking my boards again or something.
I mean, you might be at this point.
Got it.
All right. So I'm just going to be straight up with this. This case hurts my heart and my head. This poor little girl, and yes, it's a child, I'm sorry. Serenity was born in May of 2009, so she's, you know, born recently. She was only 9 when she went missing in February of 2019.
Okay.
In Rapid City, South Dakota. Now, usually, as we talk about children, there isn't a lot of their early life where, like, okay, they're a child. You know, they learn to walk, they learn to talk. Right?
True.
Serenity's different. Serenity is born to parents that struggled with addiction and then crime. Serenity was not born addicted to anything. I want to make that distinction. But her parents struggled. When she was 2, Serenity's mom went to jail. And then within a few months, her dad also went to jail. So grandma took Serenity at 2 years old, but grandma struggled with unregulated schizophrenia.
Oh boy. Okay.
So she wasn't equipped to care for a 2-year-old.
Right.
So parental rights were terminated and Serenity moved through the foster care system. Her stepmother, at the sign of her disappearance, said that Serenity had been to 12 homes in 2 years.
Yeah.
But then Chad and Darcy fell in love with this little girl. They had 2 other children. One was adopted. And in 2014, when Serenity was 5, they officially adopted her after fostering her for a while. Now, they knew Serenity came with her own set of emotional trauma and issues that stem from that. And this is sort of where I'm going to let you talk for a few minutes. Serenity had developed, and I don't know if develops even the right word, but diagnosed with reactive attachment disorder and disruptive mood dysregulation disorder. So I'm going to let you go ahead and explain that a little bit, because sure, I can Google it and read it, but this is what Amy does for a living, so she only has her master's in it. I figured she might be more educated than me.
Well, what I can tell you is, first, I work in the ballpark, with prevention of disorders such as these. I have worked with children. I'm not an expert that have been diagnosed with reactive attachment disorder. What I mean when I say that I'm in prevention is the idea or goal is to make sure that the children that I work with have a stable, involved, attached, connected, well-bonded caregiver. It can be anyone, at least one caregiver that can meet a child's basic needs. Obviously, there's food, water, housing, and all those things. But we also, as human beings, need to feel attached, safe, loved, and cared for. And when these basic needs are not met, it really impacts you and brain development for the rest of your life. There's a lot of treatments that can help manage some of these symptoms, but it's not something that there's a quote-unquote cure for. And it manifests in ways that are, for lack of better words, off-putting to caregivers down the line. And in adults, it may be seen as something called like borderline personality disorder. And
so can you just say how, so they get this disorder by not having that basic comfort, nurturing, love, attachment, right?
Correct. This child that you're talking about, basically, and it doesn't sound like she had a single person that she had a solid bond with. It makes the world a very scary place for them. They're really unsure about where to get comfort or their needs met. Sometimes it almost seems inappropriate how they respond to any adult or a teacher. Like, this has happened to me before when I've met a client and their child. The child will come up to you and hug you and behave as if you're best friends, as if they've known you forever, when a child that has developed with healthy attachment and bonding might be a little bit wary, might look to their safe caregiver, hey, mom, dad, or whoever, is this person okay for me to approach? Or they might be totally hands-off. So it kind of goes in extremes.
Well, that's actually really interesting, because one of the things that I had read that I didn't actually include in my notes was that Serenity loved to be the center of attention as long as she could control it.
Yeah, I could see how that would be part of that diagnosis.
Well, one of her symptoms or coping mechanisms, I don't really know what it would be considered, was escape, run away from parents, grandparents, school, doctors, teachers. Whenever she feels like she can't process her emotions, she runs.
Yes.
Okay. So I just want to, like, that's... So that's what this little girl is dealing with, right? And by no fault of her own, right?
No. When there's addiction or something, when the parents are, for lack of better words, preoccupied and can't take the time or have the knowledge about how to bond with their child, and that attachment is impaired. I mean, unless someone is around to intervene or to help the parent get help for their addiction and then turn their focus towards their child, these are how these things happen. And then grandma came along and she wasn't able to provide that either because she had her own diagnoses. And then in foster care, I'll just finish, I'm sorry, but like in foster care.
Go ahead, go.
She wasn't able to bond to anyone because nothing was long-term for her, so.
And I do want to say that extended family from outside of, like, her nuclear family unit did offer to care for her, but the state wasn't okay with whatever situation they were offering to provide.
Okay.
So I don't know more than that. I just know that family members had offered to step in, but I don't know. Okay, so Chad and Darcy take in Serenity. She now has two siblings. One's also adopted. So Chad and Darcy were actually pretty well equipped to deal with some of her issues because they had been through an adoption before.
Yeah.
So they knew that in bringing another child in, there's a whole other set of challenges that come with that. Well, it sounds like Darcy and Chad then hit a rough patch. And they split up.
Okay.
So Darcy kept all three children, and then she met someone and moved away. So Chad ended up taking the children. So, you know, I was like, oh, well, at least she's staying with the parents, whatever, whatever. But it sounds like, from what you're saying, that's more detrimental because she's moving from one household to the next, Although she's seeing the same people, it may not be allowing for a bond to happen.
Yeah, that sounds really complicated.
So Chad meets a new woman. This is over a couple of years. Like, it's not like it's all happening overnight. They got married, and they got pregnant in 2018. Serenity had become increasingly more challenging, difficult, however you want to, whatever word you'd like to use to describe that. And, you know, I think that them announcing their pregnancy, within 2 months later, everyone decided it was best to get Serenity some real help. And they checked her in to the Black Hills Children's Home.
They checked her in?
To a residential treatment facility for 12 months.
Okay.
Amy, I can see you reacting to the fact that they checked her in. What are your thoughts as a mental health professional?
I'm of the mindset, most of the time, that people are always doing the best that they can with what they have in front of them. However, I am frustrated because that did all the hard work that they had done with her up until that point had in essence been destroyed because, again, any semblance of a safe caregiver had been gone. Again, right. She cannot form a bond or an attachment.
So I can tell you this. She was expected to stay for 12 to 15 months, and her parents went up once a week to visit and have family therapy sessions, and she was allowed to call them two more times a week. They believed that she was making progress and said the staff was great with her. And, you know, yes, she was trying to still escape sometimes because that was her coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad visited her the day before she went missing. He said it was a completely normal visit. The only difference was staff had informed him that she was again trying to escape. And they had placed her on a protocol of arm's length only monitoring, which meant she could never be out of arm's length from a staff member.
Okay.
And it wasn't like an indefinite thing. It was just for a period of time till they made sure that she was safe,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I would think that safety is their top priority.
Yes.
Well, we'll get there. So, February 3rd, 2019. I'm going to use the most often timeline reported, but I do want to point out that I'll point it out when I get to it. Okay. At 10:45, she actually had some time to play, like a recess, in the gym. And it was four children and two staff members.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are one to two ratio or whatever.
Yes.
One child ran out of the gym, but down the hallway.
Okay.
And one of the staff members went after the child, right?
Yeah.
Seems normal. Well, Serenity then took off down a different hallway and out a door. The staff member didn't follow her because there were still two children in the gym and you can't leave them unsupervised.
Yeah.
So she calls for help at 11 a.m., so 15 minutes later.
Yep.
A person dropping off a child saw Serenity on the road with no coat. Now, mind you, it's like freezing temperatures.
Yeah.
So she goes in and says, like, hey, child on the road, just so you know. And Now, the policy at this home was that if a child went missing, the staff should notify emergency responders within a reasonable time. So they start searching for her. Now, I want to say at 10:45 is when she went missing. At 12:26, they called the police.
Hey.
At 12:46, law enforcement arrives. By 1:16, four deputies had arrived.
I hear ya.
They then questioned the witness. And I'm just going to, like, summarize their account, this lady that saw them. A woman and her granddaughter saw Serenity. They dropped off a child in the northernmost campus. And they saw Serenity running through the parking lot and down the road. While watching, the grandmother actually reversed the car to the main building, got out and rang a doorbell to alert, like, the people inside, like, hey, this child's running away.
Yes, good information.
Her granddaughter remained in the car and watched where she was going. About 50 yards north of the building. Okay. Serenity then went out of sight because it was blocked by trees and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was about 3 minutes from when they first saw her to when they notified the home.
Yes.
So law enforcement estimates that Serenity had a 3 to 6 minute head start. And she's 9.
Yeah.
Okay. So at 1:28, they request assistance from Pennington County Search and Rescue. At 4:57 p.m., the sheriff's office released an alert to the media and went door to door to about 40 homes in the area. That's all it was, in a pretty rural area, to see if anyone had seen Serenity, seen anything unusual, etc. At 10:30 p.m., the search was called off due to sub-zero temperatures.
That's frightening.
At 7 a.m. the next morning, the search starts up again, and they issue an endangered missing advisory. Now, 200 people and dogs kept searching. The next day, the sheriff's office issued this statement. I'm just going to read it. If Serenity was outside, it's unlikely she survived. We have not ruled out that possibility, that she found someplace warm to shelter, or that someone picked her up. We have an active investigation and will follow up on all leads. They interviewed Serenity's adoptive parents, her birth parents, children's home employees, everyone. There's no suspects. Now, over the next weeks, 1,200 people covered 4,500 miles of woodlands. They conducted 465 interviews. They used 65 agencies, scent dogs, cadaver dogs, aircrafts, thermal devices to look for Serenity, her clothing, or any evidence or a body, and they have found nothing. In August of 2019, the sheriff's office says they have executed 6 search warrants. They will not release where they were. They were all sealed. What? But there's been no sightings. Wait. Since her disappearance, the Black Hills Children's Home has been cited by state and federal authorities for waiting 81 minutes to call 911 because she's 9 and missing.
And that was against protocol.
Well, the protocol said a reasonable amount of time. The two people directly in charge of her said they thought it was reasonable.
But they called off a search because of sub-zero temperatures.
Yes.
Just making sure I've got the facts straight.
So there's been no movement and no more evidence on Serenity's disappearance.
That poor little girl.
That's why I told you this. That's why I'm mad at the person that suggested it. And that's why I told you to take some Tylenol.
Oh, my goodness. It hits close to home for me.
I thought it might.
I worked in a group home before. This was one of my first jobs, like, right out of my undergraduate. And there are two things that I learned. I mean, first, there are bad eggs in any place that you work. People that don't have as good of work ethic as you or whatever. I fortunately, for the most part, worked with some really great people that cared about what they were doing. So I don't off the bat want to say anything against particular workers in this case. But I'll also say this, that people that are offered minimum wage with limited training and no investment in their future or anything and put in impossible situations to manage often don't fare well. So under the assumption that these are good, hard workers, and aside from the fact that someone thought that was a reasonable amount of time, there were probably good workers there that were in an impossible situation too, trying to make sure these kids are safe while trying to make sure the runners are safe too.
Well, just so you know, apparently in one of the reports I read, when they first called 911, they said she'd been missing for about 30 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes, when in all actuality, it was closer to like 80 minutes. So I think whoever called 911 realized it was probably too long of a time period.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and one more maddening, terrible thing. This school doesn't have cameras.
And this is only a year ago, so there's barely an excuse.
And they still don't have cameras.
But wouldn't you want cameras for liability purposes?
I mean, on the entrances, probably, right? For children and for, like, if something bad was to happen, mm-hmm. like, wouldn't you want them at least on the entrances? Why are entrances unlocked, by the way?
I don't know. I mean, from what I remember at the group home, at least where I worked, we tried to make it as much of a home as possible and less of a facility, if you will. And I don't know if that's the same mindset in this particular place, but it sounds like it would have been safer when you have that many children and that many children that might bolt.
Well, especially because she was on arm's length protocol.
Yeah.
Which obviously didn't. Mm-hmm. So they're really ready for this, Amy. There are no theories, really.
Okay.
I mean, the Reddit has some, which we'll get into. But I mean, law enforcement basically says, like, she ran away. We have no evidence she's not alive, but we have no evidence she is.
There is no way that she could have lived just as a young child overnight in those type of temperatures. Unless someone picked her up. And when I say someone picked her up, I can't imagine that it would have been someone that didn't have anything but sinister notions.
Right, because if you saw a child running at 9 years old and picked them up and they got in your car willingly for some reason, you'd call law enforcement and go to the police station or go to the hospital. Right? Like, that's because you're a good person. That's what I would do. You know, we talked about it on Aisha Degree. If we saw a little kid walking on the side of the road at 5 a.m. in the rain, if they took off running, I'd still call 911 and say, hey, there's a kid on the side of the road, you need to come.
Yes. Yeah.
So the theories are, something happened at Black Hills Children's Home, and they're covering it up.
Oh.
She escaped and succumbed to the elements.
Yep.
She escaped and was caught by Black Hills, and then something happened.
She escaped
and was picked up with someone for sinister whatever. Or she managed to leave her life.
All right, I'm going to knock that right out. But
me too.
So if she...
And I will say that they said she threatened self-harm, and that is like a statement,
yeah.
But she's never actually done anything to harm herself.
Mm-hmm. So, if she had escaped, or if it was a story that she had escaped, then that would make that person that was approaching Black Hills that saw her a liar, correct?
Yeah.
So that doesn't so much make sense, but maybe there's a little weight in her coming back and possibly restrained with something happening to her. I imagine they have a restraint policy. Like,
I didn't go pull their handbook.
Right. In a lot of settings like this, when safety is an issue, though, there is a restraint protocol.
Okay. And that's one of the reasons I was excited that I dug into this, because I thought that you would get lost in the minutiae of the case. Like, you would be like, oh, well, have to dig in. You would go down every mental health rabbit hole.
Yes.
And I wanted to present it to you in a way we could talk about all your experience, but really talk about her story. And I just feel for this little girl because, and I just feel like this little girl, similarly but in a different way from Amy Fitzpatrick, was just couldn't catch a break and couldn't get the support she needed. You know?
Yes.
Whether it be her mom, her dad, then her mom, then her grandma, then 12 foster homes, then her a loving home where they got divorced and got split into two loving homes, then to a group home. Like, this poor kid, in her first 9 years of her life, probably lived with a million people. And I'm exaggerating, obviously, but I just want to hug her. Oh, and I want your reaction now. I texted you a picture of the map that they used of all their search routes. Those are every route they searched. The blue and the red.
What is happening?
That's why I wanted you
Did a child draw this?
Do you see the amount of times they covered the areas and that they looked at routes? And I just feel like with the amount of searching they did, right?
Yeah.
How would you miss a body or if an animal got her, the clothing or the remains, unfortunately? And we'll post this to our social media, too. It just blows my mind they were able to cover that much ground with heat-seeking helicopters and cadaver dogs, and there's nothing.
And now you have to remember that a season has passed, so there was warmer weather, hikers, things like that. No one came across anything unless she tucked herself into, like, a cave somewhere. But I want to go back to the theory of her bolting and then coming back to the home to meet her demise.
Well, I don't think that it's she came back. It's that she was caught.
Okay, and so brought back. Caught is actually what I mean, and brought back. And whatever happened, do you think that a whole bunch of inexperienced staff with a pretty unmethodical, if that's even a word, I don't think so, murder would know what to do to cover something like that up?
No, but what if she ran and one person caught her and something happened and they were like, I didn't find her?
And then what did they do? Put her body in the trunk?
Wherever they were, something happened. And then they could have gone back for it. I don't like any of it.
I think the most plausible thing is that she was picked up by someone sinister, and it was a complete crime of opportunity for them.
Okay, then let me say this. Deputy Heartland, the Pennington County Sheriff's Office, has said the investigation is the most extensive in Pennington County history, and there's no evidence of abduction or foul play.
How could there be?
I mean, I agree with you.
But there's also no evidence that she went in the forest. So really what they're saying is we have no evidence to say whether it's foul play or complete accidental death. That's like some fancy dance moves for the media right there.
I mean, you're not wrong. But it just makes me...
And I'm not knocking that they did the best job that they could. At all. These are two separate things. I'm just saying that you are using some fancy footwork to kind of dodge how lost you are in the investigation.
I don't know. It makes me so angry because, okay, so I think about, like, Amy, how old is your son?
8.
Okay. So he imagine he runs outside with no coat in freezing weather. How far, and he has 5 minutes. Let's give him 6. He has 6 minutes ahead of you.
Okay.
Tell me what, I don't have kids.
I don't know. That's a really tough question. I don't know. I'm trying to think about how long I...
Think about that. Let's say he takes off and you're 5 minutes behind him. How far does he get?
I think I'd be able to catch up because you're not, the child likely isn't running the whole time.
No, they said that they saw her walking. Like, when she got out to the road, she was walking. Kind of like she took off and then was like, okay, now I'm good.
Well, then I think that that would be much easier, especially if someone got in their car or if someone is running, you know? But so Melissa, I just looked this place up on Google and I see that she probably got out to the street and started walking down the street. But if you simply cross the street, you're in the thick.
It's all woods.
It's all woods. You're in the thick of it. So all she had to do was feel a little more threatened and bolt into the woods, but.
Wait, but look at the thing I sent you with their searches.
True.
You don't think they could have, like.
What I was going to say is, I don't know how far she could have gotten, especially if they were searching into the freezing night, basically, with all of the resources that they had. I know that it seems like a long shot that some sinister person came along and had the perfect, disgusting opportunity. But that's more likely than anything else that you've told me.
So, I mean, I don't think you're wrong. Because there was, I mean, you think about it, right? She ran outside around 10:45, was seen around 11. Law enforcement doesn't arrive till 12:46. That's an hour and 45 minutes from the last sighting till when law enforcement arrives at the scene. That's a long time for an opportunity. It's not like they have like a 3-minute window.
Right. Eventually, she likely would have sat down or something, laid down for rest.
Do you think she stayed on the road or do you think she went into the woods?
If worst case scenario, she went into the woods, at least to detour, and worst case scenario, she got lost, eventually she would have been exhausted because if you're that cold, it depletes your energy. Maybe you can't feel your feet or anything. You probably would have tried to hunker down and, I don't know, roll yourself into a little ball. And I hate to even put this out there, but people did a lot more hiking and outdoor activities because of COVID. Because there was nowhere else to go.
Oh, you're right. No, you're totally right. Which means more people were probably in the area than ever.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, for example, my family is not hikers. We will go to a park or a museum or something. Hiking is one of the last things that we'll do. But COVID, we went 2 to 3 times from March until October. Can you imagine how many other like-minded people there are? I don't think she's out there.
Alive or in the woods or?
I mean, statistically, if she was kidnapped, she's probably gone. But I don't think that she's in the woods. I think that someone got quote unquote lucky and abducted her.
I mean, for me, that's just as plausible as the elements. But what I struggle with the elements is how far did a 9-year-old get and how did they not find her?
Absolutely.
You know, I think of like your son. And if it's, you know, going on 12 hours in 30 degree weather, is he still walking?
No. Especially his.
Right.
He's pretty shrimpy. He's got no.
Well,
got
and
no
they fat. Said that she was in clunky snow boots.
So, helpful? Helpful for a while, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I sort of. Like I said, the whole reason I did this case, guys, is I was organizing all of our case requests yesterday. And I was like, oh, I don't know this name. And I threw it in Google. Or not yesterday, 2 days ago, rather. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And then I found myself reading article after article after article.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what? How is this even possible? So here we are.
She was let down by every single person from the moment she was born.
And I don't think a lot of that was intentional either.
So my mental health plug here is, because I'm not going to let this go, without saying this one thing is...
No, I want you to.
Is that, yes, every single person that this girl ever encountered from the moment she was born has let her down. However, this is why programs like the ones in Connecticut exist, to intervene while these babies are young and give them very intensive treatment for their mental health and substance use so that they can be together, bond, attach, and prevent mental health issues in our kids, which are our future adults, right? The people that we're going to live in the community with, the people that are going to have babies. And, so prevention is key. I'm sorry that for whatever reason, these resources didn't exist for this little girl at that time. Could have prevented everything from day one. And maybe saved a lot of people.
I'm just going to ask this because I don't know and I'd like our listeners to know. Does every state have resources? And if they're looking for them, what would they Google?
No, they don't. Some states are very conservative and they view addiction as a crime, basically. So states like, I don't want to name any states. There are certain states that will even prosecute a mother for using substances while she's pregnant. There are some states that are very liberal that see it as a disease and to treat the parent while she's continuing to raise her child.
Okay, but if our listeners encounter this in some way and want to offer some sort of report, support, or make a report about it, who should they reach out to?
So, for example, if someone sees something like this going on,
mm-hmm.
You should contact CPS because primarily you want to make sure that the child is safe, right? Hopefully that CPS has resources that they can connect a parent with to help them.
And CPS stands for?
Child Protective Services. It's a different abbreviation in every state, but most people know the term CPS, Child Protective Services.
Okay. And I just feel like we would do a disservice with you being in mental health to not give some sort of, guys, we're here because we want to bring light to these cases. And in bringing light to these cases, we also are bringing light to other issues, whether it being, dying by suicide or mental health issues or addiction issues or whatever it might be, trafficking.
Yeah.
And we think it's our responsibility to, as we're educating ourselves on these things, to give you resources.
Absolutely.
So, that being said,
yes.
Tell us what you think about Serenity.
Yes. If you have any thoughts on mental health or attachment, bonding, let us know those too. I come from a place of deep care and evidence-based information. So when I'm talking about attachment and bonding, I'm not making this stuff up. I've literally gone through trainings and stuff. So please take me seriously when I say there are programs out there that work, things of that nature. I want to hear from you. Please don't hesitate to tell me if you disagree respectfully. But yeah, I mean, that's all I
got. And I'm just going to say it here. I mean, we have a big enough audience. If anyone is ever in a position where mental health wise, where they need someone to help them find a resource, Amy is a professional. I'm not. But if you ever say like, hey, I'm trying to find a resource in this state and I don't even know where to start. Again, if you should start with your professionals, but send us an email. Amy might be able to point you in the right direction.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't help you
personally.
It's outside of my wheelhouse for sure. But I could tell you, in Connecticut, we direct people to call 211.
Yeah, exactly that. So. All right, guys. Now that, I ruined everyone's day, tell us what you think. And we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
Yes. Thank you, Melissa.
All right. Bye.
information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.